Amen. What an encouragement that is. Luke chapter 1, and you know, this is not going to be a Christmas message, don't worry. I'm not going to break it out that early on this. Amen. But I did feel like the Lord spoke to my heart this weekend. There was a certain time I was there looking at the young people, and just really this weekend, there was such a worshipful group of young people, and at one point in time, I looked around, and just it's wonderful to see a bunch of teenagers with their hands raised and crying and worshiping and shouting and rejoicing and singing, and so sincere. That's what I like to say about that, as sincere, as pure, amen. I know in this day and time, and I understand, but we can be maybe too hard on teenagers at times, amen, because they're, once again, we need to have a burden for them, we really do, and I realize at times teenagers can be a handful, and they're learning, and we're training them up in the ways of the Lord, and to some people, they can get easily frustrated with those things, and young people, they would say, I just don't get kids, you know, I understand that people can get that way, but I will tell you this, when you find young people that really love the Lord, there's actually something that you can learn from them. Amen. There's something they can teach you and me. And I felt like the Holy Ghost did that here this weekend. And I just felt Him whisper in my spirit almost. And what I'm going to title this here tonight, what we can learn from worshiping teenagers. Not worshiping a teenager, but teenagers that are worshiping. Amen. What we can learn from teenagers that love to worship. And I hope tonight, this is just going to be a touch in your spirit. Those of us that are, I'm not a teenager no more. Amen. And I'm out of that category now. And I remember I got saved at this retreat 11 years ago. Now I'm preaching it. And people are saying, yes, sir. And Brother Derek. And I'm like, well, you look, I feel a little old. Amen. They even let me play a little flag football this weekend. And I'll probably answer for that the next week of my life. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Let's look here together, church. Luke chapter 1. Start reading in verse 46. And this is known, and I know I've taught on this before. It's called the Magnificat. It is the Song of Mary. If you don't know what that word Magnificat means, it means, it's a Latin word for exalt. It means to exalt. This is the Song of Mary. And I want you to keep in mind that if you study the Bible and you kind of study the culture of that day, Mary was a young lady. Most likely a young teenage lady when Gabriel came to her and let her know that she is going to be pregnant with the Son of God. A young lady, a man, a teenager, think about that. God entrusted the Son of God to a teenage young girl. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? But notice here, notice this song. Let's look at this together, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, notice this, from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen, which means he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he hath spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Amen. What can we learn from a young lady by the name of Mary who breaks out in spontaneous worship and song about what God is doing in her life? Once again, we know this, that Mary, some writers, and you can agree or disagree, we know that she was a young lady. Some writers, if you study the Roman law, potentially she was even 13 years old. Because that's when a young lady could get married in that culture. We know that she was engaged to Joseph. We know that Gabriel came to her as she was going about her life and going about her duties. And there, Gabriel told her such a big message. you are going to be pregnant with the Son of God. The Son of the Most High is what Gabriel told her. And that he will have a kingdom that's never going to end. And then she said those words, "How can this be? For I know not a man." And we know those wonderful words she said, "Let it be done unto me." After Gabriel said, with God, anything is possible with God, or nothing is impossible. Isn't it good to know and to be reminded that nothing is impossible with God? And right there, I could probably pause for a moment and look at the innocence of the young and even the teenagers that I was around this weekend. Many of them believe that God can do absolutely anything. Amen. In innocence and in worship, I hear them say to me, "I don't care. Let God just use me. Let God do something in my life. If he was to send me to the mission field," I've had them tell me before, "whatever it is, God, just have your way in my life," because they really believe that with God, anything is possible. Amen. But it's sad to say, but the reality is, in our adulthood and in our ability maybe to be rational and to reason, at times we limit the power of God and what he is able to do in our lives. It's all right for us to look at the younger generation and the children and the teenagers and say, "Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, let it be done." We know the story of how Mary goes to Elizabeth, and there is a prophecy and a song there. And that's what this song is of Mary. It is a response to what God is doing in her life. She is a picture, this young teenage girl is a picture of a model believer. Notice here, number one, she heard a word from the Lord. Amen. She heard from God, from Gabriel, but notice what she does. She believes what she has heard. There's times some of us hear things and read in the Bible, but struggle to believe what we read. Amen. And we struggle to believe what the Word of God says, or if God was to speak to us. And now that we know better, and now that we've gotten a little more dignified, and now that we've got an education, and now that we're paying the bills, and now that we fix it all up, and we think we can fix it all up, it's easy to get to the place that we read the Word of God, and even though we would not openly say we deny it, but yet we limit God. We don't believe it as we should. But Mary believed the word of the Lord. But notice this, not only does she hear from the Lord, and not only does she believe a word from the Lord, but then she submitted to what the Lord told her. Amen. It's one thing to say you heard it, and one thing to say that you believe it. But it's another thing to say that you've heard it and you believed it, and now you're going to submit to what God is going to do in your life. You have to admit here this evening, there's times I believe we struggle right there. And not saying that any of us are openly rebellious that I know of, but God can speak to us. And when he speaks to us, we limit our timing or the way we should. We do not submit to what he says. But Mary says, as a young teenage girl, "Let it be done unto me." And once again, this weekend and other meetings I've been in, I've talked to teenagers that said, "God, whatever you want, Lord God, let it be done to me, God, whatever you speak into my life, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to witness to, God, let it be done in my life. So let it be." In church tonight, we need to be that way. I don't know how, trying to keep up who served the Lord the longest or the least amount of time, it matters not to me. But this is the question today. No matter your age or your background, are you submitting to the will of God in your life? The will of God is not just for the teenagers that are unmarried, but it's for those of us that are married, those of us that have been in church for any season of time. You still must do the will of God. And when you must do the will of God, you've got to hear the word, you've got to believe it, but then you must submit to it. But I dare say we don't submit at times because we don't believe. Hear me. Hallelujah. We don't submit at times because we don't believe. And sometimes we don't believe because we don't hear.
You've got to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying. It's easy just to read your Bible out of a habit, but I read the Bible. We should read the Bible as, God, what are you saying today? Where are you leading me today? Lead me by your Spirit. If God spoke to you here this evening, do you believe it? If he speaks to you, are you going to submit to what he says? How many knows what God is asking Mary to do is complicated? Young lady, she's never known a man. She's engaged, and she's going to go home, and eventually she ain't going to be able to hide the fact that she's pregnant. And somebody's going to begin to ask questions, and then they're going to either think bad of Joseph or whatever it is, and you can read into it all these different theories of what may have happened. Potentially could die by the death of stoning according to the Old Testament. What God's asking her to do is a risky thing. It is something that is dangerous. This is something that's going to cost her credibility all around her. It could cost her life, but in her young innocence and enthusiasm, God speaks to her. And she says, God, let it be done. Whatever you want, Lord, let it be done to me. I do believe at times. That's why God sometimes will bypass the know-it-alls. Go past all the ones that's got it figured out. And will touch the heart of young people. Because he realizes they are the very ones that will look at him and say, you know what? Let it be done unto me. Oh, yes. Let it be done, oh, Lord God. What if God spoke to you tonight? Sell it all and go to the mission field. Boy, here's our calculator. And I'm not saying that you don't have to be a reasonable person, because God is reasonable. But there's times God will ask you to do things that makes no sense to your carnal mind. I got a friend, and I really wish we could make time for him to come in. He's about 40 years old. His name is Brother Jeremy Sipes. He's from the Shenandoah Valley area. I've known him. He gave me one of my first places to preach when I was a young preacher. And he would let me preach in a little church that he was pastoring. And just recently, this year, I was surprised when I got on Facebook one day. Brother Jeremy Sipes put up there, he said he had a very successful business. He had a muffler shop that his dad had owned and passed down to him. And here it is, he made good money, had nice vehicles, has a nice home, nice clothes, and you know, has a nice wife, and they have a son. But I read on the internet just this year, as I hopped up there one day, and to my surprise, Brother Jeremy says, he says, you know what? He said, I'm selling everything I have. He said, I'm selling my dad's muffler shop. He put a picture of a nice convertible car that he had built and worked on. He said, I'm selling this. He had a Jeep and he had a Land Cruiser. He was real good at working on vehicles, and he would build them and sell them. He said, I'm selling everything I have. I'm taking my wife and my son, and we're moving to Kenya, Africa to serve God on the mission field. You know what that is? God found a man that would say, you know what, Lord? When you put this in my heart, this isn't just a whim, but God, you said it. I believe it, and I submit to it. That's what we need in these last days. Like I said, I love for him to come by and share what God's doing in his life, because I admire men like that. Brother Derek, what's going to help the church world, men like that? And older, and elders, myself included, God will bypass us and go to the younger if he has to. I don't believe that has to be. I believe we have a lot of submitted ones right here. But if God spoke to you, it may not be to go to Africa, but can he speak to you to be a witness? Can he speak to you to seek his face? Can he speak to you to be an intercessor? Can he speak to you to give maybe on a special level? Can he speak to you to be faithful, more faithful than we are? Can he speak to you to do the, you understand what I'm saying? And but just like this, as I looked around this weekend and I seen those teenagers so willing, praising and worshiping, God used me. I thought to myself, God, don't let me lose that in my life. If I have to take notes from teenagers, God, let me be submissive to you. But the amazing thing about Mary that is so mature, not only does she hear it and believe it and submit to it, as difficult as it is, she even praised God for it. Hallelujah. Mary, I'm asking you to do something that is a major thing. They're going to talk about you. Your mom and dad's going to misunderstand you. Joseph, for a season, she didn't realize that he was going to have a dream later on. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to misunderstand you. People are going to talk about you. I believe Mary knew that God was going to protect her, but yet in the back of her mind, she had to understand there's the potential of being stoned and whatever it is. But you know what she does? She believed it, she heard it, and she submitted to it. And even though it was difficult, and she knew that the road ahead of her is going to be difficult, she puts her hands to heaven. Later on in the narrative, and we're not going to go over all of it there in Elizabeth, and Mary said, even in this difficult circumstance, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Amen. Worshiping God in the middle of a difficult mission. Church, if you cannot worship Him while doing His will, I don't believe we'll do His will. Worshippers do the will of God. There's something that motivates the worshiper, the joy to do the will of God. Let me show you a few things about our worship here this evening. Number one, worship is internal. Notice the word she used here. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice that she says, my soul and my spirit. It is internal. It is not surface. It is not emotionalism. It's nothing that's just worked up by the surroundings and the lighting and the rhythm. No. She's saying, look, there's no music playing here. She knows what's about to go on. She went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. There's been a confirmation in her life of what God's going to do. And she said, my soul and my spirit, that which is internal inside of her, says it magnifies the Lord. I appreciate the worship that I saw this weekend. Does me good to see Brother Matthew worshiping God, seeking the will of God. Does my heart good to see anybody worship God? There was a young man there this weekend. He's my cousin, and I know his situation. His parents have given him a horrible hand in life. His father left when he was a young boy. His mother, really, after that, just really began to live the way that she wanted. And there's times that I've even, being that she is my relative, I've even reached out to her and said, look, you've got to change the way that you are living. You've got three kids, and you know, the situation looked bad. And I'm going to be honest with you, even there, in this young boy's life, there's been several times I thought to myself, my, he needs a father figure in his life. And my father that lives back home does his best to do things with him. And thank the Lord that it is paying off. But can I tell you, this weekend I seen that young boy whose life is in shambles. His mom just recently took off and left him with his aunt. He's having to live in this new situation. I mean, it's a horrible situation. He's heard me, he's seen more and heard more than any of us could even imagine. But to my astonishment, just here recently, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at a youth meeting. And this weekend, as I'm scanning the room, he's sitting there crying with his hands raised. What is that? It's that youthful enthusiasm, that submissiveness to the will of God. What can we learn from a young boy like that? That even when things are not like they should be, I can still worship Him. When I say it, we can be tough on them. We definitely can be tough on them when they do wrong. But can't we rejoice with them when they do right? Woo, hallelujah. It's easy to sit there, I don't get this generation, and I could be guilty for this, and this won't amount to nothing, and everything's going down the drain, and we can be so negative, and I've even heard it before, and it so vexes my spirit. But when they're doing good, can't we do good with them? When they're worshiping, can't we worship with them? Thank God we can learn something from teenagers that love to worship our God. I've learned a few things this weekend. I've been reminded. Mary said, my soul and my spirit. You know what that is? It's genuine worship. I've been to churches, they worship because they like the music. And they don't worship when they don't like it. But I've also bumped into a few people, it doesn't matter if they're beating a 5-gallon bucket in Africa. They're crying and they're weeping and they're rejoicing. If you ain't, I remember the first time I went to a church in Africa, and man, it was sitting over there with a 5-gallon bucket, a boy, and had two sticks he got out in the woods. And he's beating on the bottom of that drum. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's a horrible racket. Amen. I thought to myself, boy, that's something that's just hard to get used to. But I looked as they've been over there before beating them buckets with their eyes closed. And I looked over there as people were weeping and crying. What is that? What is that? It's their spirit and their soul. It's inside of them. Hallelujah. It's something that's deep down. Yes, everything may not be just like they wanted. Some of them probably didn't even need to eat a meal that day, nor have something good or a nice home to live in. But inside of them, there's a worship that's internal. But that's what Mary's doing right here.
Yes.
Church, you know what we are working for right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle? Worship that is internal. Just worship Him because you love Him. She said, my soul, my spirit. Notice what she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, you ever use a magnifying glass before? It makes something bigger, doesn't it? And that word magnify actually means that. It actually means to cause something to swell or grow. Hallelujah. You know what worship is when you come to church? You know why at times I may say, get your mind on God, or keep your spirit on the Lord. And I'm excited when the song leaders are rejoicing. And you know what that is? We're magnifying God. We're enlarging God in our own minds and in yours. Because what the world likes to do, the world and its circumstances and its situations, likes to shrink God in your mind. Likes to make you think your God's not able. It likes to make you think that your God doesn't have the ability nor the strength to do so. Something. And we can even at times begin to give in to the mindset of the world that our God and our situations too big for our God. But what we do in worship is when we magnify our God and we say our God is too big for our situation. Hallelujah. Our God is too big for our situation. We magnify His name.
Yes.
That should be every service. I'll be honest with you, and I've been in ministry long enough, not just here, but everywhere. We can have a service where everybody's worshiping God. Then you can have a service where nobody, no, I ain't gonna say nobody, but people don't want to worship God as much. I thank God there's some people that's consistent in their worship. Amen. And it should be of every one of us, myself included. I come to understand this. It's easy for me to get up here. If I get my mind on something else, if I get on my mind on what somebody says or what somebody's going to think or whatever it is, I begin to sit there and you can hold back. But I've got to get to the place and I want to live in this consistency. Then it doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the naysayer may say. I'm here to magnify God. I'm here to enlarge His name in my mind. I'm here to enlarge His goodness in my mind. That's what worship is. And if you don't worship God, I would ask you, why wouldn't you worship Him? Maybe a teenager needs to teach you something. My teenager ain't going to teach me nothing. Well, that's pride. God will take little babes and pull them to the side and say, you must become like one of these. Peter, you need to be like a babe. Church, you ain't beyond being taught something. Neither am I. Neither am I. God, I want to magnify you. I want to magnify you. Not only is worship internal, worship is intense. Magnify. Says rejoice. That means overjoyed. That means exceeding joy. And I love to see the young folks as they are joyous about the things of God. I know I mention it from time to time, but it really does get on my nerves at times. I'm not against sports altogether, but it does drive me crazy. See how somebody would act at a football game, but they won't worship the God of heaven. They'll sit out in the snow with their shirt off and put a foam piece of cheese on their head and yell, go home sick and can't go to work nor pay the bills, and probably paid $500 to sit there with their shirt off in the snow with a piece of cheese on their head. Does anybody else other than me think that's pretty stupid? Yes, I do. I think it's crazy. But those same, it didn't even take beer and pour on each other's head in freezing weather, and then they laugh about it and didn't go to work and talk about it all week. But they look at us and say, they're crazy. All you can do is laugh. That's all you can do. Because we realize that we know something they don't. Football is a temporary thing. The quarterback they like today in 5 years is going to have to sit down because some young buck's going to show up and outplay him. Amen. And the team they think is so good today is going to be sorry tomorrow. But can I tell you that God is consistent? He'll never have to retire. He'll never have to be benched. And he'll never, never lose a game. Hallelujah. He'll never give up and he'll never be defeated. That's why I worship him. That's why I make the noise that I do. That's why I encourage the teenagers to magnify his name. What is it? We can learn something from a younger generation. Hallelujah. Worship is intense. And just in case you believe that you can completely separate your worship and your emotion, then you're not a Pentecostal. Amen. Just that simple. The old saying is, and I've been raised with this saying, when divinity touches humanity, there's going to be some sort of reaction. Amen. If you think you can house the Holy Ghost and never weep a tear, something's wrong with you. If you think the God of glory, the triune God of glory, if you think you can have the Holy Ghost in you, that is bigger and more powerful than you can imagine, and you think there'll never be something somewhere in you that's going to move in some form, I realize everybody doesn't worship the same, but something somewhere, if it's weeping and crying, clapping, rejoicing and shouting, whatever it is, when God's in it, when divinity touches humanity, worship is intense. I'm a crybaby, and I'm not ashamed of it. You see me cry a few times when I begin to think about his goodness. Why? I can't house the joy. Oh, God. People wonder why Christians are so joyous, because it's on the surface. It's right there. Amen. You ever met a person that's real happy? Don't take much to make him laugh, does it? Don't take much to make him smile. But I'll tell you, as Christians, it don't take much to make us worship. Hallelujah. It should take 30 minutes to remember. It should take 30 minutes of singing and rejoicing to realize where you are. No, it should be automatic. It should be an outflow in your life. Something there. You're ready to respond somehow. Worship is internal. Worship is intense. Thirdly, I've learned this again this weekend. Worship is humble. It is humble. Mary says, she said that he would even regard the lowest state of his handmaiden. I'm nothing but a servant girl. I'm nothing but a girl, a servant girl that's engaged to a carpenter. And he has even regarded me. I couldn't help but, as I looked at my cousin this weekend, I said, I wonder what he's thinking. I'm nothing but a young man. And my mommy and daddy don't want nothing to do with me. I don't have no money. But yet the great God of heaven has regarded him, even in his low estate. You know what the problem is at times? We that should be in a low estate often would have put ourselves in a high estate. And when you're in a high estate, you will not worship nearly as good as you would as when you were in a low estate. When you are reminded you're nothing but dust and ashes, when you realize you ain't nothing but a lump of clay, and that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, and if it wasn't for the conviction of the Holy Ghost, that it could be you out there living in a tent in the woods. It could be you out there addicted to drugs. It could have been you that overdosed. It could have been you that committed suicide. It could have been your marriage that was ruined, until you realize that me, in my low estate, Mary said, I'm nothing but a handmaiden, and he would visit me. And we need to remind ourselves, we are nothing but yet he visited us. That's why we worship. What did you learn, Brother Derek? I'm just going on. I feel my spirit. This is what I've analyzed this week. We all realize that when a teenager is prideful, they can be something prideful. How many knows that? But I'm telling you, when God breaks a teenager, I believe there could be something humble. Hallelujah. I believe God can take a young man or a young woman who the enemy would love to exploit them and love for them to be prideful and full of their own self. But my, when that same one with reckless abandon takes everything in their life, takes their future, takes their self-esteem, takes their problems, and they look at their God and say, God, you take it all and you use me the way you want to use me, you can learn something from them. She said, in a humble way, he's regarded me. I'm a nobody. God, you're holy. Socially, she's nothing but a servant girl. And then she goes on to say this, and I won't be much longer. She said, all generations will call her blessed. Aren't you glad there was a teenage girl that said yes to God? She didn't say yes to God. I know God can do other things, but she said yes to God. And God used her. We owe a lot more to a teenager than what we like to admit, maybe. We owe a lot to her. She obeyed God all the generations. She said, we'll call her blessed. Then verse 49, her worship is connected. And she begins to notice this, what God's doing in her life. She begins to talk about these different things. But she goes on to say in verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I'm going to conclude here in a moment. But I mentioned this the other day, from generation to generation. From my daughter to Sister Neff. From Sister Parnell to my wife. And we could go around and name this room, God is to be worshipped from generation to generation. Notice what it says, though, to them that fear him and reverence him. So, Brother Derek, what have you learned from watching them teenagers here this weekend? I learned a whole lot. I learned that this generation still has somebody that's going to stand and it's going to make it in these last days as my wife comes to the piano. That ought to encourage somebody here tonight. If you're somebody here tonight, and I know we have several faithful elders in the church, guess what? Can you be encouraged tonight to realize there's some other young folks coming right behind you? And God's going to keep the church going. Amen. The devil is a liar. He doesn't have everybody. He don't have every generation. There's going to be a message proclaimed. Why? Because we can learn something when we watch another generation as they begin to worship God. Stand to your feet here this evening. Stand to your feet here this evening. Hallelujah. Right now, Can we do something together? Can all of us right now just focus on God? And I want to encourage us to do this, from the oldest to the youngest. Can we magnify him for a moment? And what I mean by that is, I want you to enlarge him in your mind. That's what I want you to do. And if you are somebody here tonight, you've got a lot of problems and troubles and situations. I want you to have the most lofty vision of God that you can produce in your mind. And I wouldn't mind if you escorted every one of your problems right in front of them and just reminded your problems and the devil that this weekend when Brother Derek went to a youth retreat, he saw a bunch of teenagers worshiping God, and God sent him back here to encourage you. There's teenagers worshiping God. And we, from generation to generation, can magnify him. Let's magnify him right now. Lord, we magnify your name.